From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Tensions between Russia and the U.S. are pretty high right now. Military action in Syria is part of those rising tensions, as is the specter of election interference. This week, one of the world's most wanted hackers was arrested by authorities in Barcelona, Spain. He is from Russia. His name is Pyotr Levashov. He has been wanted by U.S. authorities and others for spamming attacks with networked zombified computers. He's also been implicated in Russia's interference with the U.S. presidential election. Dustin Volz of Reuters has been reporting on this. We caught him at a cybersecurity conference in Virginia. Dustin, who is this guy and how did he get brought in?
He's well known in the criminal cybersecurity community as Peter Severa. He's someone who has been for decades a spam kingpin of sorts, someone who has been able to make a lot of money by creating these spam botnets, these networks of infected computers, and infiltrating tens of thousands of devices really around the world. He was arrested while vacationing with his family in Barcelona. He's now waiting for the criminal proceedings.
Who is saying that this guy's connected to U.S. election hacking by Russia? And what's the evidence? What do we know?
In short, Russia is saying that. Russia's state-backed media organization, RT, had a broadcast over the weekend which said that Severa was arrested because of some connection to the presidential election hacking. However, there's no indication that that's the case from the U.S. Justice Department. On top of that, however, Severa was involved in creating a computer virus known as Kilios, and it was actually used in a 2012 Russian election to sort of spam out different political messages to people. And I think that connection as well, the idea that some of his code had been used in previous elections, also gave rise to the idea, oh, maybe he's also connected somehow to the 2016 U.S. presidential election hacking. But again, it seems like that is not the case here.
What's the general business impact of this guy's work?
Severa has been listed as a top 10 most wanted spammers in the world for many years now by cybersecurity communities that watch this. You know, one of the things that they did is they would be able to spam advertising for penny stocks and sort of coordinate pump and dump schemes in a way to inflate their value, likely into the millions of dollars.
Dustin Volz, he covers cybersecurity for Reuters. Dustin, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Ben.
The social contract is a phrase that you might usually associate with citizens and governments, but as the influence and power of internet service providers and multinational tech companies grows, our friend and gig economy expert Arun Sundararajan of the Stern School of Business has been thinking we should shift the way we look at social contracts in 2017. He's here to talk a little bit more about that. Arun, thanks for coming by.
Always a pleasure, Ben.
All right. So explain to me your theory here that Google, Facebook, and now Verizon and I, as a regular user, have engaged in social contracts.
The kind of relationship that I see emerging between consumers and Google or Facebook is very different from what you normally see with a corporation. It's much deeper. There's a much greater level of trust.
And how does this trust form, though, as a user? How do you get to trust a company like this?
We formed this kind of trusting bond with Google and Facebook gradually over time. It's a choice that we've made. On the other hand, the nature of the relationship that we have with an internet service provider is very different. We don't think of them as a trusted repository of our data.
Just to push back on this a little bit, if I'm a Verizon customer and have been a Verizon customer for a long time, why are you making the argument that naturally I trust Verizon less than I trust Google?
Well, it's because in some ways the way that you're sharing data with them is implicit rather than explicit. When I share data with Google, I am typing in information. I know explicitly that this information is being given to the search engine. With the ISP, it's just sort of humming away in the background. Every single piece of information that you exchange on the internet is traveling through the internet service provider, but you're not thinking that, hey, I'm giving my data to my ISP.
What are the dangers of trusting tech companies in this way?
In many ways, we see the platforms as more trustworthy repositories of our data than the government. In most consumers' minds, they see news about the government asking Twitter for data or the government asking Facebook for data or Apple saying, no, I will not give the government data. But I think over time, we'll start to realize that we've given away too much data, and then we look to the government to sort of save us and to take back the responsibility that we had ceded to the platforms.
Arun Sundararajan of the Stern School of Business. Arun, thanks for coming by and talking about this with us.
Ben, always a pleasure. Good to be here.
And you know this sound, right? Well, if you don't, maybe your kid does. The Microsoft game Minecraft is huge among the youngs, and a lot of people have been using its open digital world to make things. Minecraft is finally getting an internal marketplace. Minecraft Marketplace, set to launch in the game's next big update, will let users buy and sell in-game creations for real money. Maps, texture packs, skins, etc. Sellers will need to register with Microsoft. Guess what? If you thought this all was a waste of time, you might be about to eat your hat. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.